The Mavericks finally have a winning record. They've been playing much better basketball. Luka is having a great season. And with the recent headlines in Atlanta, it does make you hearken back to the 2018 NBA draft, because Lloyd Pierce was fired just a couple of days ago by Atlanta as their head coach. They're 14-20. And they have really hit the skids. And he is taking the fall for this. By the way, you see he's been backed up by a lot of coaches in the NBA saying that this is, as Rick Carlisle said, insane. Greg Popovich also came to his defense. Apparently he's a very well-liked coach in the league. But there's also the story out of Atlanta that his players, he really didn't get along with the stars, mainly Trae Young, and that's why he is now out as head coach. And don't be surprised if the next guy to leave Atlanta is Travis Schlenk, their GM. And what does that have to do with the Mavericks? Well, if you go back to 2018, it's not that long ago, and most remember how it went down that night when DeAndre Ayton went number one to Phoenix. Marvin Bagley from Duke went to Sacramento. And then with the third overall pick, Luka Doncic was selected by the Atlanta Hawks. And for those who were starting to already get into Luka mania, seeing what he had done in Europe, that were here in Dallas, you may have been really bummed out, but then we learned just minutes later it was a deal with Dallas for them to select Luka Doncic with the third overall pick. Then the Mavericks came up at number five. They took Trae Young out of OU, and they swapped those picks. And to move up those two spots and to get Luka, Dallas gave up a number one pick in 2019. That turned out to be Cam Reddish, who is still finding his way. He may have some future ahead of him. But point is, you had a chance at a transcendent player, and Atlanta went with Trae Young. And as Schlenk said at the time, if you can get another swing at it, another top 10 pick the next year, then you take the 2-for-1.
Plus, nobody knew Luka was transcendent at the time.
They didn't.
Remember all the scouting reports from Europe, guys that had played against him, and they were all saying, he's good. He's really good. He'll be about a 17-point-per-game, 5-assist, 5-rebound guy in the NBA. He'll be a good player, maybe make an all-star team or two. Even the Mavericks admit today they have no idea Luka would be this good.
Yeah.
Nobody knew.
Yeah. They liked him and liked him enough to give up a pick in 2019. But what if he was just average? Then this trade would, on the other side in Atlanta, look like. And I almost feel bad for Trae Young, because this is the talk in Atlanta. Man, they just absolutely blew it. Trae Young's
right.
a really nice player. And
it'll shadow him forever.
Yeah. And who knows? Is it Nate McMillan now is now their coach?
Mm-hmm.
And he's had success before, so who knows? Maybe he'll turn their roster around. And in Pierce's defense, they haven't had their whole roster. They've been hit hard by injuries. And some of those acquisitions they made in the offseason haven't played with Trae Young. So he hasn't had a full deck to deal with, and then got canned when they get out of the gate at 14-20, because their expectations were the playoffs. But yeah, I do feel for Young. He's going to have a great NBA career, a terrific NBA career. But I think in Atlanta, especially if the Mavericks go on and have success and Luka has the Hall of Fame transcendent career like we think he's going to have based on what he's done here in the first couple of years, they're going to rue the day in Atlanta. That could have been us. That could have been, and especially if Luka ever hoists the trophy here in Dallas, that may be a few years down the line. That will make them somewhat crazy in Atlanta. But you're right. You don't know on draft day. I remember really starting to buy into the Luka hype on draft day, but I was much more familiar with Trae Young, and I think it was more believable that night to think, did the Mavericks just give up on Steph Curry? Could this guy be the next Steph Curry in this league? And you didn't know, but as it turns out, that may turn out to be the greatest thing that ever happened to the Mavericks. May turn out to be the greatest thing that's ever happened here in Dallas-Fort Worth sports as far as making that trade and making that draft day trade. There are a couple of examples, though, and One of them is Maverick related. And for those who don't really remember 1998 and how exactly Dirk got here, we all look at it, well, the Mavericks drafted Dirk. No, that was a deal. That was another switcheroo with Milwaukee at number six, Dallas at number nine. And that was the tractor trailer, Robert Traylor. And I remember, I'm guilty at the time, because we'd seen so many Euros come over here and not play well. And we'd seen, frankly, a lot of tall white guys come over here and and get drafted by the Mavericks and fail. The tractor trailer was a pretty nice college player. That turned out to be, up until the 2018 draft, 20 years ago, the greatest thing that had ever happened to the Mavericks on a draft night. What would have happened with tractor trailer here? You never would have realized 2011. You never would have had those 21 great years of Dirk. That would have happened maybe in Milwaukee. Maybe that would have been totally different historically for the Bucks over the last couple of decades. But just like we didn't know a couple of years ago, I didn't know then. I thought the Mavericks totally blew that one.
And sadly, oddly, 2011 was when the Mavericks finally won the title with Dirk. 2011 was also the year Tractor Trailer died.
Yeah, that's right. Very early death. But hey, back in 19...
I'd bring the room down for a second.
Junior.
I'll try to bring it back up and thinking, I remember thinking that, is he Charles Barkley? The tractor trailer? I mean, he was kind of the same type of player. I remember thinking that. I was way off on that, and it turned out a big, big advantage for Dallas. As far as Dallas-Fort Worth history, that's still the greatest thing ever, and what the Mavericks did that night for the Mavericks' perspective. I think the Cowboys have, obviously, the biggest trade that we'll get to at the end of this. I thought we'd revisit a couple of Cowboy trades, including 1974. The Cowboys got the number one overall pick from the then Houston Oilers, long before the Texans arrived, and they got the number one overall pick in the draft and a third-round pick by trading defensive end Toddy Smith and wide receiver Billy Parks to Houston, and they also traded a third rounder, and in return they got the number one overall pick, and they got Ed Too Tall Jones, borderline Hall of Famers, a mainstay in the Cowboys defensive line for a long time until Jimmy and Jerry got here, until the late 80s. He had a long storied career here in Dallas. And in that third round in that trade, the Cowboys landed a quarterback out of Arizona State by the name of Danny White.
That's the biggest third-round steal ever.
What a steal that
third
was.
Third round.
Third. Well, I guess because maybe there were teams thinking he was going to be a Hall of Fame baseball player.
Probably.
And maybe they just waited on him.
Or win the gold medal in the Olympics in whatever sport he
chose.
Yeah,
it could have been a number of things that could have scared people away. That was a big deal for the Cowboys in 74. It was a big deal, too, in 93 when they traded a second-rounder and a third-rounder to San Francisco for Charles Haley. Would the Cowboys have still won 3 of 4 Super Bowls? I think so. Maybe, though. I don't know if he certainly helped turn the balance in that first matchup.
Boy, he really was the final piece to the puzzle, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, the defense just took such a big jump
when they acquired him. Complete team.
Yeah. So that was a huge deal. But the deal of all deals, this will never be outdone in the NFL. It'll never be outdone around here. And there's so many different facets to it. But sometime, just go back and look at what the Cowboys and Jimmy Johnson pulled off in 1989 when they were in the middle of a terrible season. And apparently the story started with Jimmy Johnson going for a jog with his coaching staff and saying, we've got to do something. We are so bad. We've got to trade one of our assets. And they started apparently with Michael Irvin, trade him to the Raiders. And the story goes, again, this may be folklore now, but the story goes, apparently Al Davis talked Jimmy out of it, saying, who's going to catch passes? Are you sure you want to do this deal? You want to give us Michael Irvin in exchange for a bunch of draft picks? And apparently Davis and Johnson had a really good rapport. And the story goes that if anyone killed the deal, it was Al Davis. Now, maybe Al Davis wasn't sold on Michael Irvin. Maybe that's why he didn't want to do the deal. But that was the first idea of trying to create a big trade to acquire draft picks was Michael Irvin. Then he threw out Herschel Walker, who at the time was really the only thing the Cowboys had going for him. And he had an offer with Cleveland to get a couple of future number one picks and 3 second round picks. He told that to Minnesota GM Mike Lynn, and Lynn said, I can top that. And that's when you had the trade of all trades that at the time was called the Great Train Robbery, that Dallas got ripped off because Minnesota, they were a good team, and they added Herschel Walker, so that was going to mean 2 or 3 Super Bowls for them. But I'd forgotten about all this. I knew it was a lot of players. It involved 18 players and draft picks. That'll never be done. Damn. 18 players and draft picks in the deal. I'd forgotten about some of these guys who came here from Minnesota. Jesse Solomon, David Howard, Ike Holt, I remember them. Do you remember that Darren Nelson also came here, but no. He refused to report to Dallas, so he got sent on to San Diego.
The running back from Stanford.
Yeah, really good player. Didn't want to play here. So the Cowboys had to move him on to San Diego. They also got Alex Stewart, a defensive end. And then they got the Minnesota first-round pick in 1990. That became Emmitt Smith. The Vikings selection in the second round in 1990, that became Alexander Wright. The 91 first-round selection, that became Alvin Harper. The 91 second-round selection, that turned into Dixon Edwards. And the 92 second-round selection from Minnesota, which turned into Darren Woodson. So you got all of those veterans who were like bridge players, Solomon, Howard, and Ike Holt, who helped them get through a couple of years. And then Jimmy used that in 90 and 91 and 92 to take on 5 key players. Alexander Wright did some things good here, but you got 4 key starters, including the NFL's all-time leading rusher in that deal. We will never see another deal like that.
Never.
And boy, do you remember how Jimmy and Jerry got barbecued for doing that? Not only do they suck, they traded the best player they have away. Mm-hmm. And who's David Howard and Jesse Solomon? No one really, I don't remember anybody in town standing up and saying, let's just wait a minute and see what happens to these Vikings picks here over the next 3 years.
No wonder the Vikings hate the Cowboys. Drew Pearson caught the Hail Mary against him, and then Jimmy fleeced him.
Yeah, and they thought they had robbed the Cowboys. They thought they were about to win Super Bowls with Herschel Walker, mm-hmm. and they just they went down in a hurry. It never worked out for Herschel in Minnesota. By the way, happy birthday, Herschel, as we talk about the big deal of 1989.
That's kind of around the time Herschel became a Roomba-type running back, where he would just run straight into contact and maybe bounce around a little bit and then run into more contact. It's really weird.
It really was weird for the guy that we thought, outside of Bo Jackson, maybe the greatest athlete we've ever seen at running back. Mm-hmm. He just turned into someone who'd run into a pile in Minnesota.
Greatest college running back I've ever seen.
Oh, my gosh. He was unbelievable. And he had a couple of plays here in Dallas that were just epic on bad teams that maybe you don't remember too much. But that's remembering the trade of all trades of 1989. It's going to be tough to top that with 18 players and draft picks going back and forth between Dallas and Minnesota.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.